Thanks for being in the service today, and we want to say thank you to those who are going to be listening online just a little bit later through our YouTube channel, and so an opportunity to take in the message that way as well. And I just want to constantly say for those of you that the YouTube channel is your last resort. Your first resort is to be here in person, right? And so YouTube is last resort. Well, we're excited about working through this series that I've called 10 Values That Build Strong Families, and today we're going to continue on this, and so we're in part three of this series, and we're looking at the 10 Commandments in this series, and we're going to look at the third commandment, and the third commandment, if you're following along in Exodus chapter 20, and you need to put your finger there, you can do that. Exodus chapter 20 is where the commandments are found. But if I was going to summarize sort of the commandment for today with one sentence, I would say, God would say, take my name seriously. And if there's ever a relevant message that we need to be reminded of in the church as well as outside the church, but more in particular for those of us who are in church here today, God says, take my name seriously. And I think as we look through this particular commandment today from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, that we're going to realize just how serious God is about how we take his name and how we use it. Paul Dickinson, a few years ago, probably a number of years ago, he wrote a book called Names. And I don't know if you've ever come across it, but Paul, he had a hobby of collecting strange and unusual names, and I'm going to give you some of these today, all right? So hopefully your name doesn't show up here, and then you go out of here offended because your name is strange and unusual, all right? And that may be the case anyway, but I just don't want you going away offended here today. But Paul Dickinson wrote this book, and he collected these names, and I want to give them some of you today. And some of these names seem to be prophetic in some ways. In 1941, by the way, this is a true story that I'm about to tell you, all right? In 1941, there were two men who were executed in the electric chair in the Florida State Penitentiary. And without joking, their names were Will Byrne and Frizzle. That's true. I'm telling a true story. It is. And also in Montreal, there was a window washer who died by accident. He fell as he was washing the windows, and his name was Will Drop. Seriously, isn't that something? And so names are important. And you guys, I could tell by the way you're going to say he's not telling the truth. I'm telling you what was reported in the book, all right? Also, not only do they seem to be prophetic in the way they speak over your life, your name does, but also your occupation. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Jeff Treadwell became a podiatrist. Go Forth and Catch Him were two guys who became police officers, and they were partners together. O'Neill and Prey became partners in church equipment. Wonderfully Trembly was a psychologist. Zoltan Overy was a gynecologist. P.P. Peters was a urologist. And this is the last one. These are true. A plaster contractor. His name was Will Crumble. See, names are important. And by the way, that's a true story I just told you from Paul Dickinson. So what's in a name? God says that there's a lot in a name, especially when it comes to using his name in life. In this third command in Exodus 20, verse 7, he says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And why is God so serious about his name? Why is God so sensitive about his name? God says that your name, and in particular his name, represents three things. It represents reputation, character, and authority. Reputation, and you've probably heard people say this, that he's making a good name for himself or herself. Or when someone has a good reputation, they say, hey, he or she has a good name. Or when they have just the opposite, when they have a bad name, they say, he or she has a bad reputation. And you might want to stay away from them. So your name represents your reputation. Your name also represents your character. Many times in the Bible, when somebody changed their character or when they matured in some way, and when their life began to change to reflect that change in their character, God gave them a brand new name. Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. And so God would change their names because their names would represent their character. And so names, in the eyes of the Lord, are very important. It affects your reputation, your character, and finally, the authority that you have. When a policeman goes and he tries to stop someone, does he say, "Stop," in the name of Bugs Bunny? Does the policeman say that? No. You know, that cliche is, "Stop in the name of the law." And why do they sort of use that phrase? Because the law is supposedly has authority to it. Bugs Bunny doesn't have much authority. Maybe great, but not much authority at all. And so authority is in that name. And so when today, when we begin to talk about the name of God, it also represents his reputation. It represents his character and who he is, and represents his authority and who he is. And so when God begins to give the top 10 things that he wants you and I to remember, and the third one down is don't misuse my name, God means for you and I to take that seriously. Take it seriously. So God says when you misuse my name, it's a big deal because you're defaming my reputation, my character, and my authority, and we need to make sure that we don't use his name flippantly as if it doesn't have much value to it. When we think about misusing God's name, most people think about, well, that means don't swear, and that is absolutely true. You shouldn't use God's name to be swearing or be cursing in that way. But did you know that there are many, many other ways that you can misuse God's name besides swearing? And let me give you just quickly five of those today. And hopefully this is helpful to you in some way. So the five different ways that we can misuse God's name is, first of all, you can use God's name to insult someone. To insult. Recently, probably about maybe 2.5-3 years ago, I read an article, and I was trying to find it like crazy, so that if you want to read it as well. But in the article, it talked about how Canada is one of the most foul-mouthed nations in the world, but the United States is ahead of us, if that helps you out any on that. But Canada is one of the most foul-mouthed nations in the world and becoming more and more so. Today, a movie will not sell the way that it should if they don't have a lot of cursing in it. If it has a G rating, nobody wants to see it. And they tell us that in the movie industry, sometimes they intentionally add profanity to movies in order to change the rating of it so that it could be a hit. Isn't that something that tells you you got to be a hit by swearing? And so stand-up comedians oftentimes will get paid even a little bit extra if they use the Lord's name in vain because people think it's hilarious to do that. It grabs their attention. So why is it that people use God's name to insult? And insult is found in the sense that, you know, I can go up and insult someone, and by doing that, I'll use the name of Jesus to do it. And so people do that. So why do people swear? Why do they misuse the Lord's name that way? I think as we begin to look at the subject, hopefully I don't offend somebody today, but I think people who swear and who sort of carry on their conversation that way, they lack emotional control, and the main reason is that they're trying to impress others with their language. That's why they swear. Just about anybody can swear. I was going to say any idiot could swear, but I won't go that far. But anybody can swear, but it takes a different kind of person who can intellectually put their words together without having to stoop to that level. Anyone can swear. It takes no intellect. It takes no IQ. It takes no education. You can teach a 3-year-old to swear. You can teach a chimpanzee to swear. You can teach a parrot to swear. Swearing is not something that shows your maturity. It doesn't show your manliness. It doesn't show your liberation. It doesn't change anything. It just shows that you just don't know how to put your words together in a way that is helpful and for building others up. So when it comes to misusing God's name, some people will use the name of the Lord in a swearing way just to insult someone and to do that. And God says, don't use my name to insult someone. Don't use my name as a swear word. And so we need, as people of God today, we need to remind ourselves that God wants us to exercise maturity and self-control, and he doesn't want us misusing his name and using it to insult other people. Number two, we use God's name to indulge. And I won't spend a lot of time on this except to say that sometimes we excuse ourselves and our behavior, and we do it sometimes by blaming God. You ever have someone come to you and say, you know what, hey, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but I prayed about it. Oh boy, you prayed about it, so that just takes care of it right there. And they prayed about it, and they said, God said it was okay. And so in my experience as a pastor, sometimes people use God's name as a way of excusing themselves to indulge in whatever they want to indulge in. And I told this story publicly, and I'll tell it again here. I mean, I told it in our life group, but in one of our churches, we had two couples in our local church actually switch partners, and they, you know, took each other's spouse, and they kept attending church, and they kept coming, and so when I confronted them on their behavior, their answer was, well, we just feel like the Lord's blessing is on this. And of course, everything inside me said, you know, wanted me to grab them by the throat and say, no, I think you totally missed that. But what they were doing is that to indulge their behavior, they were using God as an excuse. And so they were misusing his name so that they could indulge in their behavior. And so so sometimes we can do that. And so that's how you can misuse the name of the Lord, is say, well, God, I prayed about it. God said I can. And so you indulge in it, and away you go. Some people misuse God's name to intimidate others. And some people are really pros at this. And I've come across it. And people will show up at your door, and they say, God told me today this is what you should do. When I was pastoring in one of our other churches in Kempville, one day this great big Cadillac drew up under our carport of our church, and out dropped, got this guy, and he pulled his pants up, and I saw him come in, and he came to the receptionist and said, you know, there's a pastor in, you know, and he had that southern drawl to it, and so, yeah, he's in. So I came out, and he pointed his finger at me, and he says, the Lord told me I was supposed to come here and do a week of revival meetings starting tonight. So I said, well, that's interesting. He didn't tell me. So I hope you have a good day, but you're not doing any revival meetings here. So anyway, he went away disappointed. But sometimes people will come up and say to you, well, God says, told me that you should, you know, you should do this. And so they'll use the name of the Lord to intimidate you or to back you into a corner. And God says, don't do that. That is misusing my name. Or someone, you know, maybe some TV personality will say, you know, who's kind of dishonest will say, well, God said, if you don't give me $1,000, he's going to pull the plug on my program. I can't tell you the number of times where I'm shouting at the TV saying, pull the plug and stop intimidating people and you misusing the name of the Lord to get what you want. So there's other ways to misuse the name of the Lord, and that's one of them. And so people try to do it to intimidate you so they can pressure you in getting what they want. Parents will sometimes do this as well, and I hope as a parent that you don't, is that they'll pull out that big stick and say, hey, if you keep doing this, little Johnny, God is going to get you for it. I hope as a parent you never do that, because that's not the image of the Heavenly Father that we want to communicate. That's not what we want our children to learn about Father. And so we can use the name of the Lord to try and intimidate others. In the world, they call that forgery. And forgery is when you use somebody else's name to get what you want. Sometimes I think there are a lot of spiritual forgers in the world who misuse God's name. And they'll say things like, God told me so. Or you're supposed to do this because God told me. Well, God told you, it must be true. But I think there are spiritual forgers in the world who are misusing the name of God just to intimidate and get what they want. And God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Exodus 20, verse 7. Don't misuse my name. Number four, some people misuse the name of the Lord by using it to try and impress you. Try and impress you how spiritual you are. I can't tell you the number of conversations where I've had where people come up to me at the door and say, you know, bless the Lord, Holy Father, thank you, Jesus, great message today, Pastor, and they'll use all kinds of the name of the Lord, and I'm thinking, you just need to say, that was a good message, Pastor, that's it, and just move along. But I think in some respects they try to impress you, and some people will do that. Some people who are maybe insecure as believers, they will try and prove how spiritual they are by using all the spiritual jargon they can, by throwing in all the religious praises they can, spiritual cliches, and they feel like even the more they use the name of Jesus in a sentence, the more spiritual they must be. And that's not the case at all. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Did you know that we can take God's name in vain when we claim to be committed to him, but we don't back it up with the life that we live? Some people can sound impressive with using the name of Jesus, but what's more impressive is when you back it up by living an authentic and real life for Jesus Christ. Someone will come up to you and say, well, I love the Lord. Boy, he's number one in my life. And you begin to ask them questions. Hey, well, what are you doing to serve God these days? Is there a ministry you're doing? No. Where are you reading in your Bible? Are you praying? I'm not. No, I'm not doing that at all. And are you having a quiet time? Are you tithing? Are you doing any of those things? And they may say no. And the real power of someone who uses the name of Jesus, it's when it's backed up by a life that is truly living for Christ in a day-to-day basis. And so we need to be careful that we don't misuse the name of the Lord just simply to impress someone, but when you drill a little bit deeper, there's no substance. And so in our culture today, sometimes even in our churches, we may know and talk about the name of Jesus, but if you drill a little bit deeper, what will we find? And let me even pause here this morning and ask you, if someone drilled a little bit deeper in your life, what would they find? Would they find someone who authentically, honestly lives a lifestyle that reflects and brings honor and glory to the name of the Lord? And so we can misuse the name of God by trying to impress others. Number five, we can, and this is not the end of my message, so don't think I'm done, all right? Okay, so number five, by using God's name impulsively. This is probably one that many of us, including myself, fall into a trap of, but not very often for me, but it has been something that has happened, is when you use God's name as a convenient expression of fear or anger or amazement, or if someone surprises you, that you'll say, oh my God, you know, and use his name as an impulsive way of sort of like an exclamation mark or point in a sentence. And so people will try and do that. And I think it's important for us to realize that if God doesn't want to use his name like it's an exclamation point. He doesn't want us to use his name impulsively or, you know, if you get scared or anything like that. You know, some people say, well, I just caught a 10-pound fish, you know, and you'll hear people use expressions like that. Or Susie's pregnant, oh, my Lord, you know, and they'll say things like that. So I want to encourage you today as a church family that God doesn't want you to use his name like that. His name shouldn't be on the same level as the word wow or far out, even though he is wow and far out. God doesn't want to be the exclamation point in someone's life. God says when you use my name, you need to take it seriously. It's not to be flippantly used or to be used as a filler because you're trying to show expression. Whether surprise, anger, or whatever it may be. And so there are many ways that people misuse the name of the Lord. And today I gave you five of those that I want to encourage you as a church family, without hesitation, think about how you're using the name of the Lord, because it's important to God what you do. God is very serious about this. And again, in the top 10 commandments, where you have the most 10 important things in life, number 3, don't misuse my name. And it's not a minor issue in God's eyes. Leviticus 24 says that a person that was caught taking God's name in vain, in those days was to be executed or stoned. Well, I got to be honest, I'm glad we're past those days, all right, that we're not doing that. I never was good at throwing a rock. So I'm glad we're past those days. But that just shows again how seriously God took how people used his name. And it was a capital offense. And boy, God says, I'm serious about this. I don't want you misusing my name. Isn't it interesting to me, or to you, and to myself, that in this day and age, that when people go to swear, they don't say, oh, Buddha, or they don't say any of that. But they use the name of Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. And when you use the name of Jesus, it invokes attention. People get nervous. And I think probably if I was true to your pastor right now, I probably would help lead us all to maybe bow our heads and say, Lord, forgive us for how maybe on occasion we've misused your name and used in the ways we shouldn't have. That'd be a great place to start, stop. But I'm not going to stop there. Number two, so how can we use God's name correctly? God promises, and I love this part of it, God promises blessings when you use his name correctly. Matter of fact, I challenge you to do a Bible study sometime. And as you begin to look through literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about the name of God, there are promises galore that are attached to those verses. He said, if you honor me and reverence my name, I will bless you with success. And again, this is the word of the Lord speaking. With prosperity, with health, with peace of mind, with good relationships. And the list of promises go on and on if we honor and use the name of the Lord correctly. Incredible blessings can come to your life, to your home, to your family, to your children, and to generations to come if you honor God's name and you take his name seriously. So how do we do that? How do we use his name correctly? Let me just finish my message by giving you three quick things, then we're done. Number one, reverence God's name continually. In other words, always treat his name with reverence and respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Don't use the name of the Lord in a flippant way. Don't say one thing and live something different. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Honor God's name. Reverence his name continually throughout the day. Number two, represent God's name clearly. Represent his name clearly. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. Our lifestyle and the way that we live can misuse the name of God. If you call yourself a believer, if I call myself a believer, then we need to act like one. Your walk needs to match your talk. I couldn't put it any simpler than that. If we want to reverence the name of the Lord, you do it very clearly by the way you represent him every day that you live your life. As a Christian, we need to be careful about the slang that we use. Sometimes we even use a lot of slang when it comes to using the Lord's name. We say, well, I'm not swearing, but we use something that's very close or it's a derivative of it. We need to be careful about that as well. A lot of slang is just watered-down cussing. It's profanity with a substitute. But I just encourage you as a church family, be careful about slipping into that and making that a part of your daily communication in your life. So by the life you live, you can represent God's name very clearly and very powerfully. And number three, you need to rely on God's name completely. If you want power to live your everyday life, that power is in the name of Jesus. If you want to overcome mountains that seem insurmountable, that's all going to happen through the name of Jesus. And you and I need to rely on God's name, not Buddha or not something else, but God's name completely, and realize that he is the source of the one who sustains us. He is the one that takes us through the good times. He takes us through the bad times. It's the name of Jesus that has the power. Let us not forget that. Psalm 33, verse 21 says, no wonder we are happy in the Lord. We trust his holy name. Again, there are thousands of verses in the Bible that says that God has given us a number of promises if we would just honor His name. How are you doing today when it comes to using the name of God? Do you take His name seriously? Do you use His name the way that it's meant to be, to bring honor and glory to His name? Just as I draw this message to a close, I kind of would like you to respond maybe in two or three things to do today, and just privately in your own life and throughout the coming week, here are a few things I'd like you to do. The first thing that if you need to do it is, I think, is to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for misusing your name. Help me to not be flippant about it. Help me not to use it as a slang. Help me not to use it to intimidate others and so forth. Maybe we just need to pause, if not today, maybe throughout this week in our devotional time and say, Lord, your name is incredible. Forgive me if I've ever used it in a lower way, a lower standard. Number two, begin practicing control on what you allow into your mind. And I encourage you even throughout the coming week that as you encounter things, movies and all kinds of different things, come back to the point and realize that what you listen to, what you see, what you read, if it's misusing the name of the Lord, do you really need it in your life? Do you really need it in your life? And thirdly, be more disciplined personally in your speech. Sometimes it's easier to swear and to cuss. It's easier to behave that way. But I say, don't choose the easy way. Choose the right way. And let your speech be constantly seasoned with salt. Let it be disciplined. And let it show your maturity in your relationship that you have with Christ. And so this week, I want to ask you just to think about those things in your life as it relates to this commandment about not misusing the name of the Lord. Let's stand together in closing. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. And as we walk through these commandments, help us, Lord, to realize that what we practice within our homes will pass on to the third and fourth generation. Our kids will learn from us, and neighbors' kids and cousins and everybody else will learn by the way that we behave. Lord, as we go from this place, help us to have a determination to take your name seriously. You obviously did, and you reflected that in your word. You reflected that in the admonitions that you gave to your people, and you are still giving those same admonitions today. It's not about being legalistic. It's not about making a mountain out of a molehill. It's about lifting up and honoring the greatest name this world has ever heard, and that's the name of Jesus. Lord, help us not simply to follow the path that everyone else travels. Help us, Lord, to take that highway of holiness and righteousness, a highway that is lifted up and it's meant for us to walk on. So, Lord, today, just speak to us throughout this week. Speak to us as we encounter people probably all around us misusing your name. There's probably sometimes not much we can do about it. But, Lord, help us personally not to follow that same pathway and to be an example to those that we work with, those that we come in contact with, family, friends. Help us, Lord, to show that we love you and we value your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.